Our second reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans in the 8th chapter, verses 12 through 17. Listen again for the word of God. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but not to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Here ends the reading. May God bless it to our understanding, and will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, let your word be rightly preached and truly heard this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. One of the things I haven't talked about while I've been with you is that Christian camping played a huge, huge role in my coming to faith. And it's such a privilege to see all of you here today. The child in me who met Jesus at the age of 7 is so grateful to the counselors who were there for me and to all of you who continue this tradition. I'm thinking a lot about children this morning, not only because of your presence, but because the word child comes out in this reading here in Romans. And when we think about our children of all ages, I want to ask, why is it that one of the most typically childlike things we do is to try and act like an adult? Think about it. This very little children like to dress up like mom and dad. Kids a little older pretend to drive a car. Heaven help us, I'm of the generation where you had car seats that sat in the front seat and you had a little steering wheel and a thing you could honk on. Some of you remember that, you know. And then older kids will play with little pots and pans or doctor kits or tool sets. There's all ways that our little children all of a sudden want to rush things and act like the adults they're going to become. Mine is 16. That's a different story about the adult things she would like to take on. But if we act as children like an adult, it's also true that as adults, we spend an awful lot of time acting like children, or at least doing things that we call being childish. The hard truth of this side of the equation is that we aren't really acting like children. In fact, our childish behaviors are the giveaway of our actual adulthood. We take out our frustrations on our families. We direct at our loved ones all sights of jealousies. We kick the dog instead of ourselves. There's a big difference, you see, between a child's childlike behavior and an adult's childish behavior. And in this week's epistle text, Paul is pleased to pronounce that all those who follow Jesus and have received the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living Christ, Paul proclaims that we are children of God. The indwelling Spirit is a spirit of adoption, and that Spirit rebirths disciples into a relationship of sons and daughters of God. It is in the presence of this Spirit that we are allowed to address God, even as Jesus addressed him as Abba, Father. To be a Christian, says Paul, is to be a child that has been adopted by God. As a citizen of Rome, Paul must have been fully aware of the role of adoption in Roman history and culture. Adoption was not just a way of taking care of orphans, although it certainly was that. It was, perhaps more importantly, a way of conferring status and worth on a favored relative, or even a servant or a slave. The most famous example of this is when the Emperor Julius Caesar adopted his lowborn nephew Octavius and named him his heir. This led to the assassination of Julius Caesar, after which Octavian joins forces with Mark Antony. They avenge his adoptive father, but then later, Mark Antony is defeated by Octavius so that he may claim his rightful inheritance and become the emperor. After that, Octavius changed his name to Caesar Augustus. We've heard of that guy. In the days of Caesar Augustus, there went out a decree, and so on and so forth. And what Paul does in this passage is he juxtaposes the story of Julius and Augustus of Caesar, formerly Octavian, emperors of this world, to that of an alternative emperor and his adopted children. In this new alternative empire, God is the emperor, and we are all his adopted children and siblings of Jesus Christ. We are co-heirs with him to God's entire kingdom. But this adoption is not just about rank and privilege. It is really and truly about relationship. Notice that in Paul's version of this spiritual adoption, we do not address God as Sir, but as Abba. Jesus addressed to God, Abba, Father. And this is not the childish exclamation, not the cutesy nickname, not the dada or the daddy that we've been told that it was. It was actually a form of address that an adult would say to a parent. It conveys intimacy as well as distance. Abba was a title that was addressed to respected elders and teachers as well as parents. It's not a form of address that comes from childishness. It is an address that offers a childlike respect and regard of reverence for that parent or that teacher or that elder. So in our relationship to God, Paul calls on us to assume a childlike posture, which is not to be confused with a childish posture. Childlike people know themselves to be utterly dependent, and they're thankful for parents as gifts that give their lives direction and focus. Childish people rebel against authority. They chafe under direction and boundaries, no matter how lovingly they're given. They resent anything and anyone who limits their freedom and their responsibility. Childlike people are capable of awe and wonder. They appreciate the beauty of the simplest little miracle, the flower, a smile, a song, the cloud that looks like a dragon, the cut finger that slowly heals. Their entire being is subsumed in awe and fascination and gratitude for the beauty of the world around them. Childish people are cynical and jaded. They have no sense of awe and wonder, and they tend to focus on only what benefit they can reap. That which has no payoff, it's of no value to them. Childlike people live by trust and faith. They love because they know that they are loved. Childish people live in a constant state of suspicion and doubt. Since they do not trust, they do not risk. They wait for assurance and guarantees. What Paul does in this passage is to call us into a childlike relationship with God. Paradoxically, it turns out that only mature people can truly be childlike. Only mature adults can choose to love and to trust, to stop and appreciate with awe and wonder all that life has to offer, and to live fully authentic lives in utter dependence upon God. Only mature adults are secure enough to experience life as adopted children of a loving God whom they call upon as Abba, Father. Abba, Father describes this unique intimacy that's grounded in Jesus' own relationship to God as Jesus, Son of God. And for us to be able to use that same address, Abba, Father, is a clear sign that through the presence of the Holy Spirit, we too have a unique claim to kinship with God. We are well and truly adopted children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, so writes Paul. And this is not some childish relationship, but a childlike attachment and devotion to God. The childlike devotion we're called to express is, as with our own children, the emulation of the parent. We want to be like God. We want to be more like Christ. We are to live according to the Spirit and forget the fleshly focus of this world on things and gain. Like all children, our prime purpose is to grow and to mature, to flourish in our faith, to ripen in our commitment, and to become a genuine family of followers. How many of you have ever had in your homes, those of you who have had children and raised them or had them visit, that growth record, you know, the marks you put on the wall as they get taller and taller? And at some point, you realize that you have to reach up rather than down, right, to make the mark on the wall. That's a significant turning point, isn't it? It may be that when those little marks are perhaps the hardest part of a home to take to leave behind you. I imagine there might be some molding that left when people move from time to time. So precious are they. I believe one of the key markers of maturity is knowing what to remember and what to forget. What do you take forward with you, and what baggage do you leave behind? This is key for all of us in our lives of faith, but also key for a congregation that's going through a time of transition. In our lives of faith, to grow in faith, to have a faith that flourishes, requires a childlike imitation of Abba, Father. Nothing and no one is forgotten. But God's focus isn't on the past. God's focus is on the future, on what will be faith's next move. We're all time travelers heading into the future, journeying at a rate of exactly 1 second per second. There's no going back. To grow a faith that flourishes, we must forget the things that lie behind, cut bait on those things that drag us down, and move ahead to those spirit-inspired, life-affirming activities that move us higher and higher on the faith growth chart, so to speak. So how are we to identify these? Well, you know, the word spirit appears in the Bible nearly 700 times, and usually following the word is this little tiny word of. So in the Bible, we read about spirit of the Lord, a spirit of power, a spirit of life, a spirit of truth, a spirit of this world, a spirit of destruction, a spirit of holiness, a spirit of peace, a spirit of humility, a spirit of jealousy, a spirit of gentleness. Well, you get the point. Of is only a tiny word that connects a noun with a preceding noun. Nevertheless, it is a very, very important word. The word spirit all by itself doesn't tell us a great deal. In fact, when you hear the word spirit, some people think ghosts and the spirit world and death and all those horror movies out there. For others, the word spirit means the bottled variety. For still others, it's all about the team spirit or the school spirit or the camp spirit. That second noun with the small word of becomes very important to identify what kind of spirit we're exactly talking about. That's why the Bible so often says spirit of, ... The question we would well ask ourselves, what kind of spirit do we have? What follows the of in our lives? Do we have a spirit of fear or a spirit of faith? A spirit of hate or a spirit of love? A spirit of uncooperation or a spirit of helpfulness? A spirit of greed or a spirit of generosity? A spirit of ruthlessness or a spirit of gentleness? You can see how important that word that follows that little word of gets to be. The question that confronts us as we seek to mature in faith, are we being led by the spirit of God, writes Paul, or by a spirit of slavery? So let's not fool ourselves. We are children of this world. We're so easily caught up in the spirit of this world, the spirit of rebellion against God, a spirit of fear and greed and selfishness. We're always at risk for this. Paul calls this tendency a spirit of slavery, because it grips us and it will not let us go, even though we might wish and struggle for it to release its hold on us. But then Paul holds up in stark contrast to the spirit of slavery, the spirit of adoption. And it is this Holy Spirit that makes this adoption actual. The Holy Spirit changes us radically so that more and more we turn away from the spirit of slavery and become able to live as children of God. The Holy Spirit points us to the love of Jesus while he was here on this earth, and it is clear if we have received the spirit of adoption and we are led by the spirit of God, then love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, The fruits of the Spirit, as Paul describes them in Galatians, will be evident in our lives. A story. Derek Redmond ran in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. Halfway around the track, this British athlete collapsed with a torn hamstring. I'm not a runner, but I'm told that's perhaps the most painful injury going. And for some reason, he didn't want to give up. He wanted to finish that race. And so he struggled to his feet. And seeing him struggling, Derek's dad got up out of the stand, broke through the security, picked up his son, all the while the two of them crying, and together they finished that race. You see, that man, that father, did what the Holy Spirit does for us. It's when we are spiritually exhausted, when we find ourselves giving into the spirit of slavery again and again and again. It's when we can't pray. It's when we don't even want to pray, when our faith is just not strong enough, when there's no way we think we can finish this race. That's when the Spirit picks us up and drags us to the finish line. When it seems that we are most children of slavery, more children of slavery than children of God, let's remind each other that we have divine help available. God's Holy Spirit is the helper who comes to our aid, even when we seem to be losing the fight. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit who continually points us to Jesus, our Savior, and renews us day to day. Each time we come here to worship, we join with the church of all ages and of all nations. Each time we are reminded of our baptism, as Pastor Hannah so poignantly pointed out last week, we are reminded of the love of our Heavenly Father, the forgiveness of Jesus, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when the final blessing is given, we are sent out to face a new week, and whatever that week will hold for us. And we know that given the gift of the Spirit, living the life of the Spirit, that we are confident in the promises of God and strengthened by the Holy Spirit to do whatever task our Father has called us to do. To God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be glory now and forever. And may all God's people say, Amen.